Morning. My name's Ben. Good to see you this morning. Right, the last time I was up here doing a talk was at Christmas at the carol service. And I taught, I won't give you a little test, but I talked about Joseph, as in the Mary and Joseph. And talking about him making some really courageous decisions at the time of his life. God speaking to his life and then making some really courageous decisions with it. So today, I'm wanting you to also do the same in your own lives and look and hope today that you will make some really good and courageous decisions about the way that you manage your money. So, but firstly, on the Christmas theme, we're going to start with a quiz. And yeah, good. But it's quite an easy quiz. It's only got one question, and you're also allowed to confer and all those sort of things as well. So you can talk to each other, try and get the right answer, all that sort of thing. With any quiz, it's very important to have slightly zany quiz master. So I'll try and get into role. Just a minute. Excuse me. Right, here we go. Hi, good morning. I'm Ben, your quiz master. Hi. Thank you. Good. That'll do for zaniness and entertainment. The question is building on my Christmas theme of when I talked last time, between December the 10th and January the 1st, how much did the average household of four spend over and above their normal spending? Shall I do that again? Well, also, there'll be a little bit of music to help you when you confer. So the question again is, how much between December the 10th and January the 1st did the average household in the UK spend over and above their normal spending? Right. Everybody had a little to confer? I could ask you all, but it might take quite a long time. Right. The answer is, looking at his notes, £1,100. Wait for it, keenies. Wait for it, keenies. But that is per person. So the is that because you read my notes when they were just down there? I think it was. Right. So beyond the little celebration in the front here with Alex. So the average household in Britain spent £4,340 over and above their normal spending in the weeks over Christmas last year. So, to me, slightly serious, wasn't it? I better not keep this on for seriousness. So, to me, that doesn't really speak of a Christmas that we were talking about, the Christmas of freedom, and the freedom that Jesus brings to us. So, if nothing else from today's talk, what I'd really like you to do, and I think it's a really good thing to do, is actually work out what you're going to spend next Christmas now. So think about it, think about what you're going to spend, and then start to put a budget in place and actually do that. You know, put some money aside each month, each week, and to do those things. Also, if you don't really have a great deal, or you know you're not going to have a great deal of income, and also if you want to change what you usually do, it's actually a great time to start communicating it to people, saying, by the way, we're doing something different this year, or I don't expect to have much money this year, and tell your friends and relatives and others about it. So when Christmas comes, you're not actually going to get really sucked in to all the hype which is around Christmas, which really encourages you to spend. So what I'd really like to avoid is the ghost of Christmas debt next year. Something really interesting that Carl Martin talks about, he's at Morningside Baptist in Edinburgh. What they were encouraging to do is everybody to set a budget now for what they were going to spend, and then half it, and they give away half of it, and they only spend half of it as well. So that would be an amazing thing to be able to do at Christmas time next year. But it's the sort of thing, if we really think about it, that we've got to plan for now. So if you do nothing else from this morning, start thinking about Christmas, because I think it's going to happen. Okay. So today, I'm going to be talking about how we manage our money. And also particularly about, it's really about managing or stewarding what we've given. I hope to give you some practical hints and tips around it. Some of it is not particularly earth-shattering, it must be said. It's pretty simple stuff. But it's really good, fundamental things that a lot of people use, certainly I use, and I'd really encourage us all to do. But also, amongst that, as I talked about with Joseph at Christmas time, we've got to make some decisions, and we've got to live through those decisions and actually do something about it. So in this series of three, we've got a mini-series, or a mini-money series. Michelle talked about last week about how money can be a big challenge to our hearts and all the trappings and the pressures and influences around our hearts which money has effect on us. And also Jesus says loads and loads of stuff about money when he talks about it in the New Testament, mainly because he knows that it has a big influence on us and the relationship we have with God. So it's really important. So Michelle picked up on that last week. I'm going to be talking about managing money and some of those things today and what we do with it when we've got it or we haven't got it. And then next week, Dave is going to be talking about how we manage money in difficult times. Across these three things, we've got a number of aims. One is to establish some principles and approaches to faith and money, to increase awareness of what our society is actually telling us in terms of our attitudes. In our culture, is to really have a sort of a critical interaction with that. Much like David Wallace was talking about, is how to really have, think about what people are telling us about science and faith. This is really the same about money. What is our culture doing to us and saying to us as well, and really understand that and have a critical interaction. Today I'm going to talk a bit about that, but mainly about dispelling some myths around money that I've identified, and also hopefully to equip us to manage money well. One of our real strong values is always to equip people. It's a value of the Vineyard Church, is to equip people to go out and do things. And this is a great way of equipping us all to manage well. And also to give us an opportunity to discuss and get support with issues relating to money. That can happen today, this morning, but also in the small groups and with people you can get to know on a one-to-one basis or within a small group setting. Those are really good times. So there's lots of opportunities that you have to share and work some of these things out. Because some of it is pretty tricky stuff, and it will be quite personal or very personal, and you might want to just share it in that sort of way. So there's plenty of opportunities to do that. Also, as I talk, I want you to really keep clear in your minds and the truth that Jesus teaches, which is your worth, you as an individual, are worth far more than anything you have, anything you don't have, any money you have, any situation you're in. The worth that Jesus sees you is far greater than any of those things. So none of these talks or anything I say should relate to where you feel you are, because Jesus loves you as you are and who you are, and we as a Wharfdale Vineyard want to do that as well. So also the great thing about Jesus' teaching is that he also teaches on that level. So everything I say, I hope, if I reflect what Jesus' teaching is, applies to every single one of us, so we can all take it on. And they're brilliant. They're brilliant principles. If you can get a principle which affects everybody and can be used by everybody, it's fantastic. So it's no wonder Jesus came up with it, really. If you feel uncomfortable about some of the things I'm saying, this might sound slightly risky. I almost hope you do feel slightly uncomfortable about some of the things I'm saying, because then I hope you'll put it into action. I've certainly listened to a number of things, or have been challenged on a number of things, which do make me feel slightly uncomfortable, thinking, actually, my situation is not how I think it should be. But use that as a positive to adjust, and use that as a motivation. Or, I hope you'll just be able to do things and progress with what you do. So this series is certainly, I hope, in that. I don't want it to be a judgment, and I hope you don't feel anything as a judgment that Michelle said, that I've said, or David will say next week. But really a call to action, And also to a call to make some changes, but also knowing that we want to keep the freedom that Jesus gives us and the freedom of the life that he gives us as well. Okay, so we've got to work through it, and we might have to be quite courageous in some of the things we do and the decisions we make. So the principles, yeah, here we go. There's five key principles which we're really sort of saying are great principles to live by. Everything belongs to God. Active stewardship, which is a lot of what I'm talking about today. Living within your resources, which I also talk about today. Build up treasure in heaven and give generously. So they're the sort of five basic principles that we're basing this on, and Michelle talked about last week. Also, there's a whole heap of resources available to you on the website. We've got a resources site. This week, we've added a number of things. We've added some really exciting spreadsheets. I'm sure you'll be checking them out. So lots of things, spreadsheets, and really simple things to help us budget and plan. We've also got some links to some really good talks that John Wright did at Trent Vineyard as well. They're really excellent as well. So links to those, and there's loads of stuff which is really, really helpful for you on there. So I really encourage you to go on that site and use it. If you haven't got access to the website, I've got copies today of all the budgeting spreadsheets and those sort of things as well, so you can just take those away as well. Come and have a chat to me or ask at the resources stand, they can do that. So in terms of what I'm saying this morning, I've already done the first two things on the agenda. Next I'm going to look about some of the myths, and then being a manager, and then spending well. There's just six really quick things about spending well, and then a summarize. But the main thing is the doing bit. So unfortunately for you, most of the work is going to be done after this morning. But that's what we're planning to do. So let me crack on with some of the myths. What we find in society is that when we're spending money, we all make lots and lots of decisions. Now, the basis for those decisions, some of them are really, really conscious decisions of what we spend our money on. But most of the time, they're in our subconscious. So we just spend stuff and we don't really think about it. It's just, you go and buy food or this, that, and the other. You don't really think about most of those things. So Michelle highlighted last week that our culture has lots of really embedded ideas of what we should and should not spend on. We also have lots of people whose job it is to encourage us to spend in different ways. And what happens is, if we compare that to the teachings of Jesus, they're sometimes not exactly aligned. So we have to be really, what I'm hoping to do is really say, well, what are some of these myths so we can actually realign ourselves, or just be aware of what society is telling us. And also, it's important to understand what our reaction to them is, and also to have a reaction. So on an emotional basis, Michelle talks about when she was spending or thinking about money, she suddenly realizes all these emotions which surround it. So as well as the hard facts of it, and also that it does have a big effect on our lives, and it's going to be really important to try and tap into those sort of things as well. So we've got the rational side of it, of what actually happens, and also the emotional side of it as well, which we all need to really take in and think about. So what I want to do is encourage you to, when you're thinking about money and spending money and managing money, is how do I react sort of on the emotional level? And then also we've got some really straightforward, we've got numbers and those sort of things. We've got what am I actually doing with my money, and what does it mean? And we can do that by looking at facts and figures, so that's really easy to do. But also the myths of money have a really strong influence on us. So let's go on with these ones. The first one of the five is the myth of mine. So when I was looking at this, if we look around society and my sort of view of it, is that most of things around money relate to mine. It's mine. Also, I was trying to find, if you look at the language of money as well that we use, that all of us, I expect, will use, we always think about, like, my money, my wallet, my personal account, my this, my that, my earnings, my stuff. And ideally, I'd like to be able to present you today a completely different language that we can use around that. But actually, there isn't really one in our society. So I think the myth of mine is built up in our oral language, and also, you know, to a certain extent, it describes what happens. But what's really important is how we then understand that and how we use that. And do our actions around money speak louder than those sort of words? So therefore, all this my stuff, do our actions actually reflect something different, which is, you know, God owns it all? We need to be in a place where our actions are really positive, even though our words and our use of sort of possessive language are different. Okay. One way to, it's quite a distinct example of this, is if somebody's in a marriage or couples, if we don't share a bank account, then that accentuates this myth of mine thing. So I remember before we got married, we actually had a bank account, and it seemed quite a romantic thing, getting a checkbook with both our names on and all that sort of thing. But I imagine, though, for you, if any of you guys, if you're married and you haven't, and you've been married for a while, and you don't have that, it's less than a romantic notion, because you've lived a life with that difference. So I'd encourage you to talk about that, and actually it will help you overcome that sort of myth of mine in those sort of relationships as well. So in terms of what does the Bible say about this, if we just go to the next one, Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. We talked about this in Science and Faith as well, but you know, the earth is the Lord's. And then another one about Haggai 2 verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord. In other words, this myth of mine, it's not mine, it's God's. But he gives us the privilege of managing it. So that's what I'm talking about more about today, about how we manage that. Okay, the next one is about the myth of more. And there's this brilliant verse in Ecclesiastes 5:10. Whoever loves money never has enough money. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. I mean, most people will actually think that was written about in the last 10 years, but that's an amazing bit of insight to our society, both in many years ago and also today. And this is all about, you know, I just need a little bit more versus managing well what I have. There was a survey done in the US, as all surveys are done in the US, and they asked people the question of what would be the one factor which would help you increase your satisfaction in your life. The most prominent response, above everything else by a very long way, would be a little bit more money. And that really just says that, you know, I think I would get satisfied if I had a little bit more money. That would be brilliant. But as this verse says, and as a lot is consistent with Jesus' teaching, that doesn't really work, actually. And also, you see it, we may see it in ourselves, and we can detect it in ourselves. I've certainly detected it and seen it in my own life as well, where we start to dedicate time or our lifestyle or what we earn to get more stuff, or I just need a little bit of that, or I can, if I just improve this in another way, it'd be really good. A guy at work really brought this home to me once. He said, why do I buy a bike for about £500, which to make it a few pounds lighter, a slightly lighter bike? Why don't I just ride the bike I've got more and lose about half a stone? It'd be much better. So it's the, and that was a really good thing. And he pointed that out rather well. It's like, why do we do this stuff just to get a little bit more of what we think is right? Also, I think what you need to do at these times as well, when there's, the economic climate, is to really check and test ourselves, especially when times are difficult and tight. You know, are we just searching for a little bit more all the time in those sort of things? Or do we see money as an escape route from where we are and go to it in the money route instead of the God route? Also, be wary of dressing up, getting a bit more as well. So I've had to check myself and realize, almost saying to myself before, if I get this new job or I get paid more, that means I can give more, so that must be a good thing. That myth of more is actually wrong, because God doesn't mind the amount you give, it's just the fact that you give. So it doesn't matter if I get a greater paid job. It just means that he just wants me to give to him. And also, if you get more in that way, it can have other effects on your life. So you take on more responsibility, you have more to do, you have more pressures, you might have less time in the things that you want to do. So just also be really wary of those more things as well. I certainly think it's right for us to seek getting promotions, to be paid fairly is absolutely right, and those sort of things. And also to be increased pay, and obviously to search for jobs and those sort of things as well. But we've got to be careful in terms of our own minds about what are we just chasing more, or we are chasing the right things. On this one, it's the myth of more is actually quite taps into these around envy as well. So you've got to be really careful about are we just envious of what other people have got, and then we can actually dress that up as being okay to say. The one about the classic case of, if you see a celebrity, you'd say, oh, they've got loads of money, but I bet they're not happy. It's quite interesting, that, because it's really, really easy to use that phrase. They probably are quite happy, really. But we're just envious of them. And so we're saying, oh, but they're not happy as me, type thing. So let's be really clear about and think about the sort of things we're saying, and that myth of more around envy. When I moved into a sales job 2 years ago, I was on the back end of a load of this, which I didn't really realise at the time, but it's actually quite hurtful. So a lot of people were assuming I was moving to sales to get more. So they were just talking about the car I was going to get, or this, that, and the other. I wasn't going to get a car or anything like that. I wasn't changing in that way. And one person said to me, I don't mind you taking this job, but I'm not going to like you because you're going to take the money that I earned for you. And I was like, great, thanks. So at least I said it to my face, which is good. But I think really we've got to identify that in our own lives, that the myth of more and where it creates envy in our lives. I'd also encourage you, if you've done that to people, is to go and ask forgiveness for them from that as well, if they know it. It's nothing, but be careful about this. Don't walk up to somebody and say, can you forgive me because I'm really envious of you because of this. And they never knew that, you know. They feel rubbish because, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, you just go to God first, and then if you have been envious and that person knows about it and it's in your relationship, then deal with that as well. So the myth of more is quite complex, but make sure we're aware of it, and I hope we can get aware of it today. Okay, the myth of worth. I talked about this at the beginning. I think those adverts around because you're worth it are absolutely brilliant adverts. Not from a God point of view, but they're brilliant adverts because they tap into something which is really at the core of people. And we need to hear that from God rather than L'Oreal. I mean, fundamentally, it's a tub of stuff, isn't it? It's a tub of liquid. And what is that about? The thing about because you are worth it is a really mixed up message. That the reason that's a brilliant advert is because it really messes with you and it actually makes you want it and it hits you deep down. So make sure you're hearing that from God. You know, if you're not hearing that or realizing that in your life, then let's really pray about that and get that sorted out. Because God wants us to build up. He sees our worth as treasures in heaven. He doesn't see our worth as we see it in this way. And also, the widow's mite as well, as I talked about before. He sees the worth of what she did. She was a the Jesus and the disciples were standing near the temple. Loads of people were giving money. And I get the sense that people were coming up with big bags of money and making a big song and dance of it. And then this widow, who was very, very poor, came up and put some very small amount of money called a mite, which was a currency at the time. Really small amount of money. And Jesus said that, you know, she's got the heart of God because of what she gave. And it's actually understanding that worth thing as well. Understanding our worth in God and what God's he wants our attitude to be. I read something quite ridiculous recently, that currently they sell widow's mite for $100. How rubbish is that? Anyway, right, quickly moving on. Myth of credit. Right. The wording of credit is completely wrong, because credit is a good thing. But really what they should say is, here's your credit card. It's not. It's here's your debt card. And would you like to take some credit? Oops. Okay. Would you like to take credit? Actually, what they're saying is, do you want to take on some debt? That'd be lovely. So there's a myth around credit. It doesn't, you know, it's about debt. So let's think about that. And your credit rating, you might think is a good thing, but actually, no, it's your debt rating. Great, you can take on this amount of debt. Fantastic. Michelle picked it up last week about when you're in debt, it's a type, you know, you're bonded to that, and there's a slavery because you have to the lender, because you have to pay it back. So just be really, really careful about, you know, buy now, pay later, all those sort of things. It is okay to take on some debts, you know, mortgages and those sort of things, and also things like student loans to get you through university because it's an investment, those things. But just be really careful about it in terms of what's going on. And the last one I want to quickly talk about is the myth of money talk. This is a myth within this room, where we say that at Wharfdale Vineyard we talk about money all the time. After the Six on Sex talk, we talk about sex and money all the time. If we do, I think that's brilliant. But our problem is, I don't really think we do. Because what we do is, do we get to the level where we start to test and change what we do? Do we talk about it in a way that's open enough? I know that there's lots of personal things which you not say, don't come to house group and tell them about how much you earn. It's not about that. It's about where your heart is with money and relationships, and where you're, you know, can we talk to people here when things are difficult and say, can you help me with this? Or, you know, can you, as well as praying for me, can you practically help me? And those sort of things. So I want to make this myth a reality, really, that we do actually talk about it, and we've got the safety to do that as well. So let's make that a reality. Okay. I've got to quickly whiz on. So what I'm going to talk about now is about being active, if we go back to the agenda. So being the manager and being active, which unfortunately means we've got to do something. One thing that's really struck me is when the Vikings invaded Britain, the first thing they did was slaughter all the monks on Lindisfarne, which was a good start for them. They then took over most of our country. But also, those Vikings, over time, discovered who Jesus was. And they understood who Jesus was, and they wanted to be baptized and follow Jesus. A lot of the Vikings, as I hear, when they got baptized, they wanted to keep their sword hand out of the water, because they knew that when you get baptized, it's submitting everything to God. And they wanted to keep their sword hand out, because they knew they would probably kill a few more people. Also, the things they'd done wrong. That interesting interlude of history, why does that matter? I've got no idea. In using that analogy, that true story, let's test ourselves. Do we want to be baptized but keeping our wallet or bank account above the water? That would be, you know, let's not do that. Let's not let that happen. Let's get all of our lives submerged with God and sorted in that way. So far, I've talked about the cultural influences and myths And really, we need to check ourselves. Hopefully I've stirred a bit of reaction and those sort of things as well, to stir that up. But we've maybe talked about some emotional things. Let's talk some hard facts and figures. And to start that little bit, a graph. I'm sure you're really expecting a graph at some point in time. This is what Ecclesiastes really represents. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. This is a not particularly sophisticated graph, but it basically means the more you earn, the more you're going to spend. And most people will probably realize that as they earn more, they spend more, and over time. And this happens. This is what I expect most of us in the room have got. The difficulties we can have is when our spending goes above our income, so then, you know, we're into debt. Or obviously, what does happen a lot at the moment is we're living in, you know, a spending income level, and then something happens, like, you know, loss of job and a change of circumstances, which then tilt these things up, which are very real to us, and we've got to try and manage. But generally, what will happen is as we go on in life, our spending will increase and our income will increase. So what have we got to do with those two things? One, we've got to have a plan, and also we've got to have a bit of a budget to actually do something about it, so we're not just subject to this going up or down the graph thing. So we need to have a plan and budget. First thing he says, well, what's the plan, or what's the call on my life? What do I think my life's going to be doing? Asking God to do that. I was sort of looking back and reflecting on this, you know, what has been the plans of my life and how has it related to money over time. I remember the first plan of mine was to get around my village more so I could go and play football with my mates. So I saved up and bought a bike, £25, Rally Roadrunner, awesome. And then later on, it's like plans to go abroad. It was like a mini gap year. It was only 3 weeks, but, you know, that'll do. And then doing short-term mission stuff. Definitely my plan was to go to university. Definitely my plan was to get married. Managed to do that one, so I was quite pleased. In terms of, you know, how we've gone on with growing family and all those sort of things. What I noticed with those things is that the theme usually has going somewhere new, meeting new people, and telling people about Jesus. So that's really consistent in my life, and it's important that financial plans are also aligned to that as well. So each of us need to have a bit of a plan, or try and think about what our plan is. It's really hard sometimes to think long term, but I'd encourage you to do that, and maybe sit down lunchtime today or this evening and work out what your plan is. Also, just on a little thing on these, with these plans, it's always really good to have a will. So I wouldn't leave it to, like we did, we left it until one of our friends died in a car crash, and we thought, flip. We were told about 4 years ago to get a will, so we were sort of panicking around and getting one. It's a really good thing to do, and it's good. So do that. Right, the next thing is the B word for budget. So what do you do? Nick? Yeah, there we go. Give first, work out your essential outgoings, and then your variable potential outgoings. So the give first, what you do is you work out how much you get paid each month, or if you get paid weekly or daily, whatever. Work that out, and then the first bit you give. That's the easiest thing to do, is just to give it first, and also is what the Bible teaches us to do. God's strategy is to give that to the local church. So there's one here. It's a bizarre strategy, but it works. And so give first. One of the ways that I find really useful is I can do it through work. So it just goes straight off my pay. I never even see it in my bank account. It's brilliant. Also, BT do a great thing. They also match it as well. I think it's about 53% they match it, so that's good. If you've got somebody with your work that does that, then I'll encourage that. It's best to do it just straight away. Then you have a list of sort of essential outgoings, housing, gas, electric, all those sort of things, to really get you going. The things that you actually have to pay, and also your debts as well. And then it comes into sort of your variable potential outgoings. So all these things can vary, like, you know, food, clothing, car, TV license, all those sort of things. You need to make some tough decisions to make sure that that balances out, so your spending doesn't go above your income, and do it in that way. If you don't, if that doesn't work out, if you sit down this afternoon or this evening or this week and it doesn't work out, don't go back to number one, go back to number three. And then if three doesn't work, go back to two. I wouldn't never go back to number one, because, you know, God calls us to do that. Also, from us, me and Kate, we found out more and more that we have different attitudes to money. And actually, for me, mine was all about saving and nothing else, really. And sort of being married to Kate and working through stuff, I actually found I have a greater freedom and enjoyment in spending what we can spend, because I know what we can spend, and then I actually enjoy doing that rather than thinking all spending is wrong. So work that out in terms of those relationships as well. When we first did this, Kate's dad sat just before we got married. I think it's probably mandatory, but we sat down with Kate's dad, and he said, "Right, you're now earning, you're getting married, you're going to have a house. Here's your budget." So he helped us work it out. We just told him this is how much money we've got in terms of our sort of essential outgoings and potential outgoings, and then we worked it through, and that was really, really helpful. So Kate's dad isn't here today, but if he was, he could sit down with you. If not, find somebody else to do it with you, or do it yourselves. But it's really great, really, really good, and a great start for us as well in terms of setting off in that way. So I really encourage you to both find somebody to do that with, but also be accountable to that as well. In terms of the budget, really helps us to spend less than we earn, and it helps us to stick to it as well. There's two great examples in the Bible. Zacchaeus, the little man in the tree, he was brilliant at this. He was so brilliant at it, as soon as he met Jesus, he could change his life and give that money out straight away. He didn't have to go back and work out how much he'd overcharge people or rip people off. He knew it exactly at that time. And I think that call is the same for us. Know what's going on. Know what's going on with our income and spending and managing our money, so we can, at those times, just give it out and know what's going on as well. Joseph, as in the technical variety, and also Daniel in the Old Testament, they were brilliant at this. They were so good that they got whole regions of countries to manage. It's a gift from God that we can do, so get some help and help us to do that. So quickly, on the last point, here's some little six little guides to spend well. Right, our spending is consistent with our values, and really in that, understand what the myths are. Make sure our values aren't myths. Are you going to use it? Consider the long-term cost, not just what it costs to buy. Spend the appropriate amount of time shopping around. Pray for new major purchases, and does it have to be new? Those really good stuff, just to help you with your spending. Now, talking of spending, and this is going to be slightly blatant, so bear with me, but it's good. It's very intentionally blatant, because I bought this book. I got it for 1p, and because it was an old and new or something on Amazon. I then paid £2.75 for postage, so it cost me £2.76, which was not too bad, really. But I would encourage you to buy this book. But first, we've got to test it out, whether it's good to buy. It's available on the resources stall. We've bought loads of them, and they're going to be £1. So if you do nothing today, this is a really, really good book. It goes through everything I've gone through in more detail, really lays things out really well, and we'd encourage you to buy it. We've bought 100, which means that there's one per household, and it's going to be £1. If you know you can't afford it, then ask somebody else, or ask somebody to buy it for you. Now, let's just check out whether it's worth buying, though. So, back up. Where are we? Okay, the principle was, is buying this consistent with our values? Yes, yes. Are you going to use it? You better use it. Consider the long-term value. Man, you could change your life with this book. Spend the appropriate amount of time shopping around. Now, we've done that for you. I bought it for £2.76. You can buy it for £1. You can tell I'm in sales, can't you? Pray about major purchases. Don't worry, we've prayed for you. It's a good one. And does it have to be new? It doesn't have to be, but we've got nice new ones for you. So, because you're special, everybody. Not in a L'Oreal way, but in a decent way. Right. Let me quickly conclude. We've talked about myths in our society. Just be really aware of those. I've then talked about getting a plan, getting a budget together, and then managing that budget, and buy this because it will really help you. I've talked about budgeting now for Christmas. That's a little thing which might be helpful. And also, what you might find from this, you might think, whoops, I haven't done too well here. So sack yourself, say sorry to God, and then reinstate yourself. So, you know, you are the manager, so let's crack on and do that. If that's not enough challenges for you, I've got a couple of ideas that you might want to go for. One is deal with the peer group pressure about things. If you haven't got enough money, especially for young people as well, it's not just joining with everything. Let's just say, well, instead of going out for this, that, and the other, can we do this instead, or just come around to my house, or do something different? You have to deal with that peer group pressure that we all have. Peer group pressure is not just a 13-year-old thing. It's all of us, and we've got to be aware of that as well. Another little challenge, if you want another one, is go around the centre of Leeds with... go around the centre of Leeds with no money, and if it's safe enough, no mobile phone, no way to contact people. Then go into 10 shops that you really like, and then walk around and see what happens. See what emotional pulls, see what marketing is doing with you, see what culture is doing to you. And then you walk out, and you haven't spent any money. Brilliant. And don't go next week with money and spend it all, okay? Unless, obviously, you've managed your money well and you know you can. Another one would be to do money fasting. You what? Money fasting. So you fast money. You fast spending money. Quite tricky to do. You know, if you're on a really tight budget, you might... This is basically don't spend money unless you absolutely have to, but still be generous. So that's a little challenge to work out. I've done it. I did it last week because I knew I was doing this talk. And it's really interesting. It's really interesting because you start to think, oh, yeah, I really want to spend money on that, but actually it's not essential. So Cafe Nero lost out this week, but never mind. So, yeah, try that. That will start to give you some emotions of what's going on. So how are you managing? How will you manage this week going forward? How will you manage next month? How are you managing the next year? Go and buy this book. There we go.